Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a professional football player turned restaurateur on the show to talk about his journey so far on TOC. He is an executive chef, Triple G alum, and he is back for his third season of Tournament of Champions. It's Tobias Dorzon. Tobias, welcome to Food Network Obsessed. I'm so excited to chat with you today because, you know, we've had a couple of former athletes turned chefs on the podcast, and it's always fun for me because it brings me back to my sports days as well. So I'm curious, where do you prefer competing, on a football field or a Food Network set?
Oh, 100% a Food Network set. I mean, you know, the rush of, you know, having a time limit to put out a decadent fine meal, you know, it's a fun rush that you like to get. And, you know, it's a possibility that you won't get hurt as much as you would in football.
I take it you've always been kind of a competitive guy.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I think in anything that has ever been, I always felt like if I wasn't great at it, I was just not going to do it, not going to try it. Like, I just love competing in whatever it is. Like, if we're going to do something, we're going to see who's the best one in doing it.
I like that. And I'm wondering how much your sports and football upbringing and background has kind of translated and helped you be an even better competitor in the kitchen.
Oh, I mean, in so many different ways has sports helped how I transitioned to the kitchen, just the structure of what you have in sports, the coaching, the practice, you know, the making sure you're prepared for a day of service, you know, so things like that, you know, you can put them together and make those one thing. So it wasn't really a hard transition far as the structure part of cooking and playing football. So it was really a good thing that sports really gave to me.
Absolutely. And you are no stranger to Food Network or competing, starring in 7 episodes of Triple G so far. What initially inspired you to be on the show and then now make multiple returns?
Honestly, once I got the first opportunity to actually be on Guys Grocery Games, you know, it was a surreal moment, especially for a chef like myself. Where I'm from, like, we don't get to see people that look like us on Food Network. You know, it was a surreal moment for me to now be able to now pass a new type of journey for kids to know, like, you can pretty much be anything that you really want to be if you really put your mind to it, and if you really care about what it is that you do, and that's the competitive side. And what I did in football, same thing as what I'm doing now in culinary. Like, I just want to be the best. So I'm going to take extreme measures in studying and taking on the proper education to better myself, being able to have moments like Come On Food Network and capitalize on the moments that I have. So it's just been a fun time, and Food Network has done nothing but prepare my career to where it is now. You know, so it's always a good time when I'm on the network.
You mentioned you didn't have somebody like yourself to watch on, you know, something like Food Network coming up. What does it mean to you that you are now that person for other kids out there? And have you ever, you know, received messages from people who have seen you on TV and been inspired?
Oh, I mean, at this point in my career, before Food Network, I was cooking for athletes and celebrities and stuff for 4 or 5 years before, you know, even getting my first chance to be on TV. So, you know, from social media settings, people have seen me and seen the setting of the clients that I've had. So going on Food Network now to be able to see me in a room with Jet Tila and Brooke Williamson and, you know, Guy Fieri, and being able to compete on shows like Tournaments of Champs, and it now gives them a new sense of, wow, like, it gives me like a new pump and energy, and always wanting to do the right thing, and just always wanting to continue to be that role model for whoever it is that, you know, wouldn't typically look at someone on Food Network, and just feel like a sense of comfort being able to see someone with tattoos and someone that talks like them, but still fully educated to culinary to the max that it can actually go. But, you know, we don't really get them opportunities. So it's that pleasure in knowing I'm the one that people can say, stop me in the street to take a picture because they saw me on Food Network the night before. They saw a rerun from an old guy's grocery game show. Like, you know, those things are always a surreal moment for me and my kids and my family, you know, to just to be able to be have a proud moment for my parents.
Absolutely. And they should be extremely proud of everything that you've accomplished, including, you know, your various appearances on Food Network and Guy's Grocery Games. What other memorable moments or interactions can you share about Guy during filming either that show or Tournament of Champions?
Well, you know, I think for me, one of the biggest things I have on my shoulders are just being able to stand up to what I feel like I came into the culinary scene on Food Network through Guy's Grocery Games. So I feel like, you know, I'm like a product of him, and our relationship is amazing. Like, he's a text away anytime I text him, anytime we talk. And the last time we were filming TLC, you know, we had a lot of downtime, so we were together a lot. And we had a lot of time just to, like, really sit and dissect each other and learn each other. And he had a chance to, like, really learn me for who I am and for what it is that I've, you know, accomplished outside of people thinking that, you know, I'm just an ex-athlete that decided to start cooking when really just thought I was a chef that was just playing football for the time being. and it ended up being fun for a while. And, you know, just talking to Guy, he always reminds me on how to just authentically be myself. And I feel like that's the part of my journey so far that's continuing to grow. Just being myself, but always at the same time educating myself so I can still continue to be in rooms that I'm supposed to be in, you know, but still being myself and conducting myself in just the way it's truest form to me, but making it comfortable enough for everyone else to be able to understand it.
How difficult is it to, you know, keep all of those things in mind, like, you know, being yourself, you know, staying true to your unique culinary voice, but then also being thrown, you know, all these crazy challenges in the moment?
That's the competing part. That's the competitive nature in you and the wanting to be great, you know, and just knowing to be in these type of rooms, the things that you're going to have to do, you're going to have to elevate your time after, like, so if you didn't, like, after tournaments, after TLC 3, I went home and started to study different different regions just so I could know these type of things and things that I haven't really been in my comfort zone of cooking. I decided to add that to my arsenal so I could have those things in mind, because again, like, in order to be in rooms with the chefs that are on TLC, you have to be one of the best. And you have to, and I see them, you know, TLC gives you a chance that you can now interact with people that you grew up watching and you grew up wanting to, you know, to be like, and one day being better than, you know. So being able to always be in the room with Michael Vitaggio and talk to him on the phone, call him if I need advice about something, and Jet Tila and Tiffany Faison, and like, Tiffany's like my favorite person. Like, we talk all the time. Like, so, you know, just Tiffany Derry, like, this, these people, just being able to talk to them and pick up more of the, now that you have come to this point in your career, you know, you don't have to continue to live the stigma of you're one of the first ones to do it. Like, you know, you did it, now continue to grow from it and continue to show people why they should bring someone else that looks like you to do it. And as long as you educate yourself, I feel like that's the biggest part about it. Like, just when I'm in the culinary, when I'm in on TLC or Guys Grocery Games, I feel like I'm so, at this point, I continue to elevate myself every time I'm in there. You know, it's never a moment where I'm overly lost or overly stressed. I feel like it's just a comfort zone for me when I'm in the kitchen.
How much did your time on Guys Grocery Games really prepare you for Tournament of Champions? Or is there anything that can prepare you for TOC?
That's a tough one. I don't think anything can prepare you for the randomizer. I don't think there's anything that can even slightly, you know, get you ready for the randomizer. But being able to have a minimum of 30 minutes, 20 minutes on Guys Grocery Games, it has really, it does prepare you in the sense of you're going to be on the move all the time. Like, you know, when you're on Guys Grocery Games, you have 30 minutes to shop a whole grocery store and prepare a whole meal. So the part of it, the timing part, definitely helps. Like, it definitely helps. And I think Guy sits with his team and tries to figure out the craziest and most wackiest things to add. Because every year since TOC3, the randomizer has got crazier and crazier every year. It's almost like you can't even study for this type of stuff.
I feel like it has truly become just like this evil entity, you know, to itself.
It is.
I mean, you've done it, you know, three times now. Does the randomizer make any appearances in your dreams or nightmares at this point?
I ask myself every day, why do I continue to torture myself like that? I act every day, but it's just the thrill of it. To be able to, like, put it all on the line on national television, like, and show your skills to the best of your ability. I feel like there's no greater competition than that. That's, like, genuinely my biggest, you know, it's one-on-one. It's almost like a boxing ring. Again, football, you have teammates. Basketball, you have teammates. Baseball, you have teammates. Boxing, you're your only person. Track and field, depending on relays, you're your only person. And that's why boxers are very arrogant, and track stars are very arrogant, and chefs are very arrogant, because you're in a restaurant form, you're a team, but on a one-on-one competition where you're looking at the person that you're battling across from you, like, you know, you tend to want to have that I'm the best attitude, and that's what the show is about. And to know that people still, the best of the best, still come out and compete, knowing that only one person is going to be able to take it all, that's what makes it so fun. That's what makes it want you. That's why you want to come back all the time, because you know that every time you look up and you see the lineup, you're still seeing all the heavy hitters up there. So you still give yourself a chance to say, you know, I've accomplished something like winning tournaments of champs.
How have you evolved as a chef and competitor since that first season of TOC to now?
Oh my God. I have evolved as a chef. I just think the confidence that I already had, I think it just solidified it. Like, I always felt like I was a phenomenal chef with the training I had. But I never really got to showcase it. And I still, at this point, I really think that I still haven't showcased it to the point where I can. But being able to finish in the Final Four and being able to battle a Christian Petroni who judged three of my Guys Roshi Games episodes before I ever get to Tournaments of Champs, and that's the first person I battled. And then I battled Chef Enat Imani, who had, like, Mediterranean Restaurant of the Year in New York. And then I battled Chef Karen, who just came up for James Beard Award. Like, it was just like, to be able to be in the same arena with these chefs and win really just helped me realize that you're doing something right. And this was just your first time. And, you know, it was, the sky is very beyond the limit. And I'm having a time of my life doing it right now.
That's amazing to watch. You mentioned some heavy hitters there. Are there any chefs that you have not had the opportunity to compete against that you would love to go head to head with at some point?
Yeah, I really just want to beat Bobby Flay. Just get it out of my system. But I've watched Bobby for a long time, another chef that I truly admire and what he's done with food and how he's took over the food world. So, yeah, of course, one day I'll face him. Yeah.
We're putting it out into the universe. So maybe if Bobby, if you're listening, get this guy on Beat Bobby Flay. How about that? Yeah. But spoilers ahead, if you haven't watched so far this season, you've also beaten out a couple of formidable competitors as well. KBC, Dale. How do you stay grounded amidst the pressure and the excitement of competing on TOC, especially after securing, you know, big wins like the ones you mentioned, too?
It's just about winning. Again, it's just about being able to know, you know, KBC won Top Chef. So to say I beat somebody that won Top Chef really puts another chip on, like, yeah. Like, it really helps me sleep better at night. And, you know, not being on a show like Top Chef, when I face Top Chef competitors, it really helps me sleep better at night to know that I may not went that route, but, you know, things still worked out for me in the route that I went.
Is this hands down the toughest culinary competition out there, you think?
Oh, for sure. That's not even a question. One, you're battling for the most amount of prize money. So that alone makes you sleep less at night. That right there, sometimes it's gambles that you take when you're battling for $10,000 that you for sure not going to take when you're battling for $150,000. Like, so that's a, like, and I don't care how much money we all make, $150,000 is a good amount of some change that you can help you do some things. And yeah, just the people that you battle, the randomizer, like, again, you're almost not battling a chef. You just know that you're going against another big name. But the randomizer is really who you have to deal with, is who makes you, because you're not saying, oh, I have to battle Michael Vitaggio. Oh, my God. Like, what am I going to do? It doesn't even matter what you're going to do, because you're trying to figure out what it is that the randomizer is about to give you. So there's nothing that you can prepare for. Preparing for a chef is pointless when the randomizer hasn't even touched you yet.
Coming up next, Tobias tells us what sparked his passion for cooking and the challenges he faced going from professional football to the culinary world.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I want to take it back a little bit, because as we kind of alluded to at the top of this conversation, you know, prior to embarking on this culinary journey, you had a career in professional football. So I'm so curious, what sparked your interest and passion for cooking?
Well, my dad always cooked. My dad was the executive chef. My dad has had his own restaurant that as a child I was always in. I wasn't in the cooking capacity, but I always had a feel for restaurants. I always, you know, like I looked at my dad actually, you know, evolve as a chef, like on a daily basis. So it was something that I always did in college. I cooked in the dorms. I had all the fish fry parties and everything, like, and I found ways to make foods look fun when I was in college, and I realized, like, you know, it was something that I loved to do. And my last year in Canada, I got released and I came home and my agent asked me, was I ready to start training to get ready again for some workouts? And I told him our institute had like one more week of registrations and I think I'm going to hang it up. And my agent thought I was joking. I was 27 at the time. So he really just thought I was just frustrated. And I registered at the Art Institute. And after that, a year and a half later, it was all she wrote. And I ended up going to Sicily for 6.5 months to study fine dining. And really, when I came home from that, it was just like, oh, this is my lifetime career. Like, there's nothing else. There's no other but just make it work. And I knew that I was young in it, and I knew that it was a lot that I had to learn in the overall outside of culinary school, you know, the day-to-day to make you money and to be a presence. Like, I mean, to be on Food Network is not an easy thing. And to be on it for the past 6 years is another thing that is not easy to do. So I just try to let people know, like, you know, my odds are super thin, but my odds are also amazing compared to, you know, me being here for 6 years, still competing, you know, still having some type of a presence on the network. It's been fun. And you know, it's been one of my driving motions to continue to get better.
So all this time, like while you're playing football through college and professionally and then in the CFL, I mean, was this in the back of your mind? Like I never.
I think it really hit me. Like, I think it was never in my mind that I was going to be a chef when I was done playing football, because I never had it in my mind that I was going to be ever done playing football. Like, you know.
Right.
And when I finally realized like that was what it was going to be, I think a light bulb just came on one day and was like, well, you could be what food is missing. Like, just my experience on wanting things to be on a high level all the time. Like, my restaurant, I put my restaurant in the neighborhood I grew up in just because we never seen fine dining in my neighborhood ever before. So it's something that I'm big on, something that I try to educate, you know, my culture on another aspect of fine dining. And those fun times are the reason why it made the transition from football to cooking so easy. It made it something that, because I was still pleasing people. So it was almost like I'm still getting the joy out of what I do, because at the end of the day, people came to watch me play football and it pleased them. It made them excited. And having an intimate restaurant where you can actually be hands-on and actually give people food that pleases them is soothing for me, you know, and it helped me understand that I controlled my own destiny and what it was that I was going to accomplish. So that's what made me continue to drive for just making it fun and making it easy to forget about it. Like I tell people all the time, if I knew then that I would love cooking the way I do, I would never have played football.
The first time you stepped foot in the kitchen, as a culinary student, did it come easily to you right away? And did you know immediately, like, this is my calling? Or did it take a little bit of trial and error and kind of really working at it?
Well, far as the talent part, I think the talent part was something like where that's why I didn't make it in football, and that's why I'm succeeding the way I am in culinary. The talent part was I was always a phenomenal football player, but I never did the extra work to continue to be great, when there are a lot of amazing football players that, on top of being amazing, they go to workouts and they treat their bodies and they do study film. And I wasn't even the best student in high school. I did enough in college to be eligible for football. And when it came to culinary school, just the eagerness of having a 3.0 and passing all my classes and just going into culinary school, I think what helped me, I went into culinary school, supposed to wear Crocs. I'm wearing Jordans and I'm getting deducted 2 points for that. I'm not wearing my handkerchief around my neck because I want a smaller chef jacket so I could show off my body. And I'm getting points deducted for that. So I just always, from day one in culinary school, not knowing anything about what to expect out of culinary school, I went in there as if I was getting ready to go to my first day of practice with fresh tennis shoes on, all the best gears. So that means go buy the most expensive knife that I've researched for a while now, and just to have it. And then as I got into culinary school, I learned that I pretty much know all of this stuff. I just don't know the actual terminology. Because I've seen it so much with my dad. So when it came to breaking down chicken, I was breaking down chickens on the second day of culinary school at the Art Institute, something that was supposed to take us 3 or 4 days to learn. I was breaking the whole chicken down, just never knew that it was called fabricating the chicken. You know, it was those type of things that I think culinary school really helped me with. But it was just really this is really a God-given gift that I really feel like it was just the opposite. I really felt like I was always a chef that just knew how to play football, and then, just not being able to have the access to be in front of certain eyes that the network puts you in front of. My restaurant is in a black neighborhood, and I probably got about 35% of a white audience that I can guarantee you wouldn't know anything about my restaurant if I didn't have things like the network, if I wasn't being showcased in certain areas that I know typically I wouldn't be, I wouldn't be showcased in. So that's the goal part for me. That's the continue to elevate and continue to prepare everyone that is around me to know that we don't feel a color. We just feel a palate, and we just give experiences to everyone, because food is just love. And you feel it every time you come in my restaurant, just with the way we greet people and just the way we have fun with it when you come to Honcho House. So it's always made me find a way to continue to be a better chef. What is it that I can learn? What is it that I'm not learning? Keeping my relationships with everyone that I meet through TOC, not being afraid to ask questions. And I think a lot of people are afraid to ask because they're pride of not wanting someone else to think that you need them. You can be better than someone that asks them something that, you know, you may have not been across, because all these chefs have studied in different places that have worked in different Michelin star restaurants and have had different training, other superstar chefs. So anytime I get in a room with these chefs, that's like my free internship every time, like every single time. So it's always a fun time.
I think that's a great, you know, attitude to take towards it. Just always learning, always evolving. And I would love to hear more about your restaurant, Honcho House. Walk us through what the experience is like and how you incorporate your West African heritage, but also all of these other influences you've learned along the way.
Honcho House, I could explain Honcho House, you know, in a million different ways. A couple years ago, I had a food truck called the Victory Truck, and I would serve like Hawaiian ribeyes, like lamb chops off of a food truck. And people told me that it would never work. People are never going to stand in line for 30 minutes for a steak. People are not paying $70 for a steak off a food truck. Like, it's not going to do it. And I used to have 100 people in line every day, like nonstop. And really, that's what made me shut my truck down, because it became overwhelming. So at that time, the kitchens that I worked in, I had a lot of Spanish guys, and they would call me Honcho, of course, like, you know, head honcho of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And they would always call me that, and it was something that stuck with me. And once I moved to Houston, I had a board in my kitchen that just said Honcho House. Like, when you come here, it's just me and my element putting different things together that wouldn't normally go together, and just having a good time. I have like a huge island in my kitchen in Houston that seats like six at the island, and it's just like an open kitchen. And like, I've always just, again, cooking has been my thing, where I just love people watching what I do and seeing the whole process, because that's where people... Of course, social media is where people see you. So, you know, you're kind of like cousins with everybody on social media, but they don't get to see the day to day. So they don't know like your knife skills, how you set your mise en place up. Like, I've had people be like, oh, you're a real chef. like seeing me in person, like seeing me on a daily day and hearing me talk and just seeing how laid back I am. I ask people all the time, like, what is the chef supposed to look like? Or what is he supposed to talk like? Or what is he supposed to wear? Like, I if I have a chef jacket on with Birkenstocks and a hat, is that like the typical chef? So I ask people all the time. So it's like, when they see me out, like tasting my food in a restaurant that I'm cooking that has a closed kitchen, it's just like, is his line making it? Is he making it? How's he plating it? And then having an open kitchen, or inviting people to my house and having them see me like break down a whole fish and, you know, julienne and dice and small dice and mince, and seeing my knife skills. And it's just like, oh my God, you're a real chef. And I'm like, yeah. I mean,
does that bother you when people say that?
No, I mean, it actually continues to motivate me to go into every situation myself, and then kind of like more on putting the egg on someone's face by like, don't judge me by my appearance. Like, then you see a whole nother, then you come to Honcho House, and it's just like 42 seats, four seat chef's table, only a service bar, because I only want you to highly come there for the food first. No gimmicks, no like over the top antics to make you feel like, I can't wait to go there because I know the guy's going to jump out the sky with my cheesecake in his hand. Like, I want people to really come and genuinely for food and the experience of good food. So that's why I made it only 42 seats. So with the menu I have, I can be able to execute it the way it's supposed to be executed, so you can get the food the way you're supposed to get it. And of course, in my hometown, I want you to be able to experience the experience under what I thought at the moment, well, whenever I created it, was the best way to put it together. So you may get, I have deviled eggs on my menu with a piece of fried shrimp and jalapeno bacon jam. A lot of people don't eat pork. A lot of people up north don't eat pork. So they say, can they get it without the bacon jam, just the shrimp? No, you can't. You can go get a shrimp double egg from somewhere else, but you won't get it from Honcho House. And, you know, it's those type of things that was a big kickback at first, which has now become an understanding thing because they understand, like, chef is pretty much just trying to give us the flavors that, you know, we typically wouldn't normally have. You get champagne upon arrival. Every guest that walks into Honcho House, as you give your reservation to the host, you get poured a glass of champagne if wanted. Just to get you to your seat, something a quick toast on. My restaurant is full of two tops and a couple four tops. You have to call in ahead for a six top reservation, but for the most part, it's a date night spot. It's a spot mm-hmm. where you can come and catch up, where you can, it's good music, but it's talkable, where you can talk, and then it's an open kitchen. So you're able to see what's going on. You're able to see not the norm of, I have an amazing designer. Her name is Amelia Knox, who designed my restaurant as a Beauty and the Beast theme because I like gorillas. Gorillas are in the jungle. So the flowers and the vines and the greenery and the ceiling come from the beauty side. And then you have the gorilla, which is the beast side. And then you kind of bring it all in together with the fine dining, white tablecloth setting, wine glass, water glass, you know, table settings on the table. Those type of things, I want people to feel amazing when they come in there and feel like they're walking into a dining experience that they haven't experienced before. We offer palate cleansers before your main course just to clean off your palate, take away like the umami flavors and things like that off your palate before you go into your main. So those type of things that they've never had before, like, are things that I enjoy seeing people overly happy about. And Honcho House was just that experience for, this is my first time doing it by myself, like no one else. And to see what is done with like no marketing and booked out for 60 days in advance. Now to now opening my new restaurant that I'm probably about to open in another month called 1123. It's like a dream that you can just continue to float because you just know like this is really just the beginning of what it is that you're really trying to show people, and just seeing it be so successful and seeing people, seeing who I've touched with it, you know, it's fun.
I mean, it sounds like an incredible experience, such a vibe. I love that you give champagne upon arrival. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, let's start the party early.
I know. I love it. I think why aren't more restaurants doing that, right? And you talked earlier about, you know, why it was important for you to do fine dining versus something more casual. On that note, is a Michelin star still on the vision board?
Oh, it's probably the biggest thing on my vision board. And it's funny because, you know, it's some dreams that people think that are like far-fetched. And those are one of those dreams that I feel like it's so right there. It's just, you know, Honcho House was my baby to help me understand, you know, and continue to elevate and grow, to learn that Chef Tobias will leave this great place we call Earth one day with a Michelin star.
Why is that so important to you?
Just the proper etiquette of food and experience of giving people an experience. That's what food is. I hate when people say, I went to this restaurant, the food was amazing. You know, how was the experience? Wow. It's always about from the time that, you know, you're most, when you create these restaurants, and no knock to no chef, but I feel like I always have the hardest, you know, course to actually doing what it is that I'm doing, because I'm not going in, I'm not starting out with people that work in Michelin star restaurants, but I'm also doing myself the due diligence of showing myself how great I am as a chef by educating these people to come to that level of understanding where it is that I'm trying to take this next course of my career, and showing people food and the experience. You know, it's just, you know, being able to be greeted nice when you have these dreams about your restaurant. You dream that you got the best host and the best server and the best GM and the best bartenders and the best bar backs. And, you know, everyone in the restaurant knows your menu back and forth, even down to the food runners, where someone stopped them and asked them if the fries were cooked in peanut oil or canola oil, the busters would even know it. And wow. Then you got to wake up up, you got to wake up to reality and realize, like, now you got to go find these people. You know, and then you realize that that's the perfect world. So what are you going to do as a chef to educate these people, to show these people, to buy into what it is that you're trying to show them, because they've never seen it before. And you're the only one that worked in the Michelin star restaurant before. You're the only one that ever worked in a fine dining restaurant before. So how do they know that what you're telling them is right if you've never done it before? And you can't take on your experiences of telling them, well, we did it at this restaurant that I worked in, but you haven't done it. So how do we know that we can trust you to lead us? And it's a blessing of seeing the success that I've had and seeing the people that I'm around and then seeing me go far in TLC. So not only do the people that they look up to, I'm competing against them and I'm succeeding against them. So it now gives them that chance to actually buy into what it is that I'm actually doing. And now giving us a better chance on showing people that it is a big opportunity out here to continue to elevate the fine dining culture and giving people an experience of food and love and excitement of going out to a dining experience rather than, yeah, I went to this place and the food was great, but like the vibe is good. Again, we're in 2024 now, like everything has to come with a vibe, and the vibe is supposed to be amazing for a 25-year-old millennial and a 75-year-old grandmother. I want them to be able to be in the same room and both enjoy the experience of the actual restaurant and not feel like it's either too old or it's either too young or it's not, you know, meeting the needs of just everyone overall. I came here and the customer service was amazing and the knowledge of food was great and it was great drinks and the music was great. The temperature was good. The smell of the restaurant was amazing. Everybody was so clean. You know, they looked good. Everybody was dressed appropriate. The tables were sat nice. Like, those are the type of things that I want people to leave and the compliments that I want them to have when they leave.
Well, it sounds like you are in the business of creating amazing, memorable experiences for people. And we can't wait to see you continue to do that in your restaurants and also on Food Network. So we are going to finish off with a little rapid fire round of questions. And then we have one final question for you.
I'm ready.
All right. Rapid fire round. Dream dinner party guest.
Ooh, dead or alive?
Sure.
Anthony Bourdain.
That's a great one. There's no other answer, really.
Anthony Bourdain.
All right.
Guy Fieri, Barack Obama, LeBron James, Tiffany Faison, and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, wow, that's quite the dinner party. I would just like to be like a fly on the wall. I'll be a server for you.
that's a dinner party for me. That's a dinner party for
me. I love it. All right. Ingredient you dread the most on Triple G?
Patty pie squash.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. Best pregame meal?
Best pregame meal. Trash can nachos.
Before a game? Before a football game?
Before a football game. Before football. I'm a junk food eater, so eating something that is light will destroy me. I need to feel
You need to feel weighted down.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love it. Favorite athlete or celebrity you've cooked for?
Favorite athlete or celebrity I've cooked for? Woo! Man. Trent Williams. Trent is my longest client, my coolest client, just played in the Super Bowl. Yeah, Trent, I was able to experiment with Trent the most.
Okay. Which is more fun for you as a chef, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely.
One ingredient you cannot live without.
One ingredient I can... Onion powder.
Favorite crab dish?
Ooh, it would be crab dip.
crab dip? All right.
Yeah.
I like a good crab dip.
My crab dip. It has to be my crab dip.
What makes your crab dip special?
Oh, just the love I put in it. The type of cheeses I put in it, the creaminess, the adding the spinach to it. Yeah.
It's
pretty phenomenal.
All right. And your favorite dish your dad makes?
It's called jollof rice. It's a West African rice that they make. It's almost like a stewed tomato and red pepper dish that they stir into a rice and season and add vegetables and different meats. My favorite dish.
All right. Well, our last question for you is not rapid fire. You can take as much time as you want on this one. And there are definitely no rules for this question either. And that is, what would be on the menu for your perfect ideal food day? So we want you to take us through your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, your dessert. You can travel, you can time travel. Anybody living or dead can cook them. You can cook them. There's no rules. Like I said, it's your day. We just want to hear what it is.
Let's take a trip to Japan in the morning for some Japanese souffle pancakes.
Yum.
let's go to Mykonos and get a nice Greek salad.
Perfect. Sounds lovely.
For lunch, let's go to Jamaica, get like a nice whole bronzino, freshly grilled, a nice escovitch sauce. Damn, we got a lot of fly miles. Let's go to Italy for some palate cleansers.
I love it.
Yeah, let's go to Italy for some palate cleansers. And while we're there, we'll pick up some white truffles and then we'll come back home and we'll come here and have an amazing surf and turf finished with some fresh shaved truffles, a tomahawk with a lobster thermidor.
Mm.
And for dessert, close out with some, we'll go back up to Asia and have a Japanese sweet potato creme brulee.
Okay. I mean, I love that we traveled for every single meal and snack.
Oh, for sure.
I love it. I tell people they can travel and only a few people take me up on it. So I appreciate that you did it for every single meal.
We're here for a good time, not a long time.
Well, it sounds like a perfect food day. And again, continued success with your restaurants and the rest of your time on TOC. We can't wait to watch this season continue to unfold. And we're going to be rooting for that Michelin star for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me, man. It's been a pleasure.
You can watch Tournament of Champions Sundays at 8 p.m. on Food Network. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.